This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
3 past 1. We're going to talk about Hennepin County and opioids in about 6-7 minutes. So we spent a lot of time last week when we were out at Radio Row talking about our invention that hasn't happened yet. We'd like it to happen. We'd like other people to put the work into it, execute it, but we'd like to take 10% of the profit. It's Shazam for photos, right? You see somebody, you take a photo, spins around a little bit. Hey, it's Adam Carter's friends call him J. Crew. Now, I have bounced this off a number of other people, and they're a little more worried about
privacy concerns.
Privacy, yeah. Security.
Yeah, we'll worry about that later.
You know, I mean, that's why we're the idea folks.
Right.
Right.
Let the legal guys work.
Okay. Exactly. And I went to one person who's already got a bit of an engineering background. He's maybe dabbling in the law. I said, that's up to you.
But this is more for celebrities, though, right? I mean, it wouldn't just be everyday schmoes.
How do you stop it?
But no, I mean, if I took a picture of you, it would tell me which celebrity you most look like.
No, no, I didn't. We have conflicting views.
No. That's what I'm saying, because we wanted it for the celebrities.
Right. But.
So it's got a catalog of celebrities. So if you do it on just a regular person.
What celebrities is that? Like Amelia Santinella, celebrity or not? Big celebrity in this town.
Yeah.
Recognizable.
This is a worldwide app. I don't think
Oh, really? So you're telling Amelia, if she's listening right now.
I think Amelia would appreciate not having her privacy invaded.
Yeah, well, I don't
Shazam photo.
I don't think it's going to say Amelia and then give Amelia and Frank's address. I'm just asking to say, boom, we take a picture and it says Lindsay Gensel. Does that give you pause? Boom, take a picture. Somebody takes a picture of Lindsay and it pops up. That's Lindsay Gensel. But
it would never happen to me, so I don't think it would be.
I'm thinking, though, I mean, there's so many people on social media with their own pictures as, you know, profile pictures that you've already got that database. That's public out there already.
Yeah.
So it probably would work for regular folks.
The Chinese police are using a version of this. I'm going to tell you about that later. Does that make you feel better or worse?
I love
about
China.
Our ideas that the Chinese police are looking at this idea. We'll mention, Adam's going to talk about Rick Nolan out, which is news. Mention again that Tim Pawlenty is having a meeting of a number of prominent Republicans in downtown Minneapolis Monday morning. We've confirmed this through two sources. There's been speculation before, but this first time I think anybody's confirmed that it's happening, where it's happening. And when the governor's flat out saying is to talk about our future together. So the idea that he stepped down and the governor's race is not a part of it is utterly nonsense. So people need to stop talking that way. Lindsay and I were just talking during the break, too, the number of guests we've had, number of topics we've had about opioids and what's taking place. Saw the David Shannon story in the trip. County weighs its options. So I'm at Hennepin County. When it's options for reversing the opioid crisis, I'm all into hearing those. Jennifer DeCubellis is good enough to join us. She's the Hennepin County Deputy County Administrator. Jennifer, thanks for coming over. Obviously, it's an issue that affects Hennepin County. It affects this entire state, the entire country. So let's talk conceptually. What was the county trying to do with this new look at this issue?
Thank you, Chad. Thank you, first of all, for having us and giving us an opportunity to talk about the issue as well as what we see as some of the solutions to start off. What happened this past fall as we were doing budget reviews with the county board is we saw the fiscal impact as well as the life impact that is growing so much in Hennepin County. Yep. So seeing over 160 deaths in the last year in Hennepin County, and year over year that trajectory is just growing. was really the impetus from the county board to tell us, what are we doing about opioids in Hennepin County? And what we had is we had the libraries doing things. We had public safety doing things, health and human services doing things, but our systems weren't connected.
Interesting.
And so the ask from the county board was, can you connect those into a countywide strategy? Which was brilliant, because what we found as we brought 40 employees across the county together to look at the different strategies was we found that no one of us could move the line without the rest of us together. And we found that the hospital had great initiatives coming out of Hennepin County Medical Center, but they were hitting policy roadblocks or funding roadblocks. And together we can get through those. So that was really the impetus, is to say, how do we save lives? How do we get people into recovery and treatment? And how do we ultimately build community supports that keep people from addiction to begin with?
How did you come up with the 40 people? How did you feel like we're touching enough people representing so we're not missing and so we can collaborate, as you just talked about?
This is just a start. So let me say 40 people could have been 4,000 people.
Yeah.
The impact is that huge in our communities. The 40 people were, we scanned the county and looked at, where is the impact? We know environmental services is working on collection bags for drugs and medicines and the environmental impact. So we knew we had people there. We knew the libraries were seeing it in the library system, where they've had overdoses or they're seeing needles in the bathrooms. There were a lot of different impetuses across the county. So the 40 people were, we just put out a call across our 8,000 employees and said, who's working on this? Who has a concern with it? And let's get to the table. And 40 people in 2 months pulled together, what are all the efforts happening across Hennepin County? We looked at best practices across the nation of where we're seeing other communities, because this is a national struggle.
Well, let me jump in there, because I just was going to ask you that. Do you look at comparable counties and say, what's working there? Or do you say, let's just not look at other big cities, right? Let's look at other areas. Let's not eliminate some ideas that maybe smaller counties have used that we could also apply here in the biggest county in the state.
Absolutely. And it was everything from, where are there people that are turning the line and getting ahead of this? So everybody is seeing alarming rises in the death rates. Mm-hmm. But who is starting to see addiction slowing down? Who is starting to turn the corner? I don't know that anyone has solved this, but we did look at best practices. And it was everything from state initiatives to county initiatives to city initiatives to find out what is working. But part of that was also then applying it to our own communities. What are we seeing?
Sure.
So in Hennepin County, there's a huge, the opioid addiction started with younger Caucasian males in our suburbs.
That's the strongest demographic.
That was the strongest.
Okay.
That's where this epidemic was first seen in Hennepin County. Right now, it is huge disparities.
Yep.
So Minnesota has the highest racial disparities in opioid deaths.
Yep.
We are number one. And where we're seeing the biggest impact is the Native American communities are five times more likely to die from opioids than their Caucasian counterparts, and African American communities are twice as likely. So part of it was to say we couldn't use just what works in other communities if that demographic wasn't the same.
Yep.
So we needed to say, okay, what is truly impacting our community here and how do we apply those learnings?
Yeah, that is – I'm glad you said that, because it's such a damning item, because we've had these conversations on the education gap too, the enormous racial disparity. Sometimes we're the worst in the country for that on economic issues, right? There are areas where we're flourishing. There are other areas where our state and our counties – are just lagging significantly. So, Jennifer, how about the money? Because you talk about it, and how much money are we talking? And then how much money, if we just concentrate on the money part, because saving lives and the treatment is the bigger part. We know that. I hope everybody knows that. But on the economic side, where are we balancing out if we funnel more money into these different ideas that we're not spending as much money as we're trying to keep people alive and treat them as the county is presently approaching it?
Yes, and those money numbers are alarming. So our briefing to the county board yesterday did not include a new money ask, because part of it is we need to get the strategies marked out. We need to talk to the impacted communities and have them weigh in what meets their needs, what doesn't meet their needs, talk to community partners, because this is such a big problem. It's beyond Hennepin County. It's certainly beyond government.
Right.
But part of the fiscal alarm is things like our medical examiner's office, which has a fairly small budget, spent $400,000 in lab tests for the opioid problem and being able to find fentanyl and being able to get ahead of the synthetics and what's happening and what are we seeing in our communities. Hennepin Health, our health plan, which is a fairly small health plan in Hennepin County,
yeah.
Serving 29,000 members. We spent $16 million on opioid treatment in the last year.
That's a lot.
You can do a lot with $16 million
right.
Instead of spending it on emergency departments and instead of spending it on deep end services when people have lost homes, lost employment, families are broken. Child protection. We looked at our child protection numbers, which is a $122 million budget, and found that 88% of our removals of children 5 years and under is because of opioids.
Mm.
That out-of-home placement budget is a $48 million budget.
Right.
You could greatly reduce that, not only to mention, as you said, the trauma to kids, the trauma to broken families, and being able to prevent that. You can't put a price tag on it.
No.
But the cost of this epidemic is alarming. And so we do think we can repurpose those dollars and get better outcomes for residents by doing business differently.
We're talking to Hennepin County. We're talking about this opioid crisis. Jennifer DQ Bellis is good enough to join us. Okay, where does the process go from here? What happens next?
Our next steps that we talk to the county board is we really have to resource this. So 40 gracious staff members saying that there's something in their area of expertise that is happening around opioids put their time and energy, and they will continue to do so. However, what we saw was the huge opportunity to leverage each other in a bigger way. So our first step is to put somebody in charge of this strategy.
Okay.
So it needs to be a full-time job. It likely needs to grow to be a team's full-time job.
Yep.
But how do you really not nibble around the edges, but absolutely penetrate the problems that we're seeing?
So it's like an opioid drug czar.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So putting somebody in charge is critical. And then it is going and talking to the communities. So I would say the shortcomings of our plan is that we haven't been in front of those communities to say what does the community need? What is works for the community? So government historically can come in and imply that they have all the answers. We're saying in this strategy, we know we don't. So one of our first asks is to say we need to get in front of the communities that are impacted the most and have them influence what this strategy is, which is a first draft.
So and reading the David Shannon story, I know you have some ideas that you'd like to implement quickly, right away. Outline those and how did you narrow down to this group? Because, again, I'm sure you could go 50, 100, 150, 200 items, but we know in something this daunting, this challenging, you can't just snap your finger and get 200 major changes right away.
Absolutely. And some of the first things are to get in front of those communities to define what they need. Another thing is to get training out. We put the strategies into three different buckets, the first one being primary prevention. And what that is how do we get prescribers to prescribe differently? How do we get word out there on best practices? How do we get schools and families and really drive through our community an awareness that is needs to be bigger than it is today? And I would give the Sheriff Stanek credit for doing his Novadose campaign, which has gone out.
He's been very visible on this, right?
Absolutely. And he is helping spread the word. But then how do we also penetrate our community providers? We are seeing things like nursing homes who won't take people who are on medication-assisted treatment. That prevents somebody from going into recovery. So how do we leverage...
How commonplace is that?
That is fairly common, and there's some stigma around treatment. There is misunderstanding. So the more we can put education out there to help people recover, one of our cautions to the county board yesterday was this is not just about opioids. This is about addiction.
Right.
This is about...
Are we better at the stigma associated with treatment? I would hope... Do you feel like we're tangibly better in that area or just minimally?
I think we are absolutely getting better because we're having more conversations.
Yep.
But we need to have a continuum of services and supports that work better for people. So in the Native American community, what I've often heard is that there is a fear of going into a recovery program because they have children. They don't want child protection to come in and take away their children.
Mm-hmm.
And we are saying we are supporting adults in recovery. We will walk alongside you. And as a result of those discussions, there's been great programs that are bringing families into treatment together so that moms can keep the babies with them and get into active recovery services in order to, again, just get around what is the barrier. And that's part of those community conversations are what are all the barriers that funding, policy, or legislation puts in families' ways to get the right outcome, and how do we start removing those barriers?
Often, Jennifer, when we cover this topic, I will hear from different texters who will say, you know what, I really care for the folks who are battling this, but I have this ailment, and I'm getting treatment, and I cannot function if I don't continue to get that treatment. So I don't want to have to go through five different procedures to get that. But at the same time, you touched on it in one of your last answers. We have to get to more of the providers, the doctors, the nurses, to say whether it's no longer 30, it's 15, or you have to come back to the doctor more often. How do you walk that line?
Absolutely. Those are the critical discussions. We don't want to put the burden on the individual who is trying to get into recovery. We don't want to put the burden on the providers who we know are strapped for time and access as well. But there are some really easy things we can do. We can deploy strategies where we get pre-authorizations out of people's way so that they can get access to the care they want. We can expand that care. Telemedicine is a great way of getting it into more communities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are apps that are being developed around pain management so that you have alternatives
to point,
even going to medication. We are a heavy medication-oriented culture, and medication isn't always the answer.
Dramatically sometimes. Different than yep. any other country on the planet.
But we don't pay for it, and that's where the funding comes into. So alternative medicine often is not funded by health plans.
Yep.
It is often not funded in our private or our public programs, or it's not accessible to certain communities. So how do we get those alternatives and really create a continuum of resources versus a one-size-fits-all model
yep.
so that more people can get into treatment? And then ideally, we really want to invest upstream into that prevention. How do we get awareness out there about trauma, about resiliency, about addiction, and give more resources to preventing people from even getting in that door to begin with?
Last thing, because we have to go. How should people follow the progress on this and see where it's going and if it affects them, especially to pay attention and see if there's some different ideas that come out of this task force and this plan?
There are many ways. One is we always are interested in that input. We will hold community forums. We will walk this out to the community, again, as a draft, not as a final solution, because we can be influenced by the people who are saying the system isn't working right now.
Mm-hmm.
So the discussion we want to have is, what do we need to get out of your way? What do we need to put into place? What are some of the barriers? And so community forums will be presented. We will be working with community partners. Again, government alone won't do this. We will not be successful without all the communities rallying. And that's part of this is our rally cry to engage more people. So those community forums are one way. Sending information into the county is another. Working with community providers, community plans. There really is a huge outcry right now. So we'll make sure that those opportunities are well published and posted.
Important stuff. Thank you so much for coming over.
Thank you very much.
Jennifer DeCubellis from Hennepin County and the opioid crisis and the approach Hennepin County is trying to take going forward. 26 past one. All right, so not the first time we'll do this. Won't be the last. National Pizza Day. So the conversation comes up. Where are the best places? Chime in. Let's go. 81807. We had a bunch early. We'll get to some of those. We want a bunch more now. Best pizza places locally or nationally. For me, number one is the combo of Lola and Young Joni's, because it's same ownership. Not the same pizzas, but the same approach. They are phenomenal. To me, they're the best. Next, Black Sheep. I love Black Sheep. There are more and more Black Sheep. Do we have two now, Black Sheep? Or am I forgetting another one? Because we got the downtown. We got the St. Paul.
I think there's one on Eat Street.
Is there an Eat Street
yeah.
one too? Okay. Excellent. More power to them. And if I want to go outstate, Rafferty's, Nisswa. I know it's one of the places we like to go to when it's going to the lake, when we're trying to find one of those hidden gems. And Adam, I think the two of us always view the Brainerd Lakes area as a hidden gem, you know? So it always makes sense when Channel 4 goes there. Rafferty's in downtown Nisswa, phenomenal. And there's many more, but I don't want to monopolize here. So I can chime in more. What else do you like?
I just had Black Sheep for the first time last week. Very good.
Oh, it's excellent.
I
mean, a lot of these places have so many different pizzas you love, Adam. But sometimes there's just like a signature pizza
mm-hmm.
at certain places. Like the Korean barbecue with Pizzeria Lola
yeah.
is unbelievably famous, and it lives up to the hype. Because sometimes certain things get a hype
right.
and doesn't live up to it. That pizza, every time.
I'll be parochial here where I live.
Yep.
Old World Pizza where Snoop Dogg.
Right.
Old World's got a great pizza.
Is there a picture of you and Snoop Dogg at?
Sadly, no, I did not see him.
Wow.
Angelo's Pizza in South St. Paul has been making great pizzas for years.
Yes.
Carboni's. I like Carboni's pizza.
Is there each point where it's almost underrated or just because it's been around so long?
I think it's underrated. You could call it underrated.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
Outstate, you know, Zorba's makes pretty good pizza.
Zorba's does make pretty good pizzas. There's no denying that. And most of the time we're there or you're there individually, I'm there. I've also had a few adult beverages, and guess what? It's even better.
Yep.
Right? Lindsay?
Locally, I would say Pizzeria Lola is up there. I love the dough from Cassetta's, family I nannied for in college. Big Italian family. They'd go and buy the dough and then make pizza at home.
Yep.
So I love the dough at Cassetta's. I love the dough at Casey's. We had a texture. I know that's like if we're going like you need to buy 20 pizzas. So growing up in New Prague, we were limited on pizza options. And so Casey's Convenience General Store there on Highway 21 was one of the very early and few options we had. So it was always Casey's Pizza. I love their dough. One of the best pizza experiences I've ever had was in Atlanta at a place called Antico Pizza. Now, if you're going to Atlanta and you love pizza, this is an experience from top to bottom. It's two Italian brothers who have moved to the United States, and it is this huge warehouse near Georgia Tech, and it's very unassuming. If you drove past it and blinked, you'd miss it. It's communal style, so picnic tables and bar tops, and everyone kind of sits wherever they can. There's soccer playing on the TVs at all hours of the day, but it's BYOB. So you go up to the counter, you order your pizzas. At the back of this huge warehouse are these huge brick ovens. And so you can watch them make your pizzas, and everyone's speaking Italian, and you can bring your beer, your wine, or your sodas, whatever you want, and it's awesome. It is such a cool experience. And speaking of, you know, football, when we were there, they were talking about how every time Tom Brady and Giselle are in town, they come by.
Oh.
Now, this was a few years ago. I haven't been there in a few years, unfortunately.
My father told me I bellow like a cow when I sing.
Like a cow for Antico
Pizza.
That was
Giselle at the place.
It's a very cool vibe. And what I love about spaces like that where you kind of have to, you know, walk up to the table and find your spaces, you get to meet new people.
Yes.
It's very cool.
Right. Well, we're getting more. I mean, like, there's a story on the trip today, guys, about another big food hall idea for downtown Minneapolis for North Loop. Now, they're pushing back. No, it's not exactly a food hall, but it's going to be multiple kitchens, multiple food items, and the big rooftop. All right. Somebody went Devani's, the dark man. Do we just have your
D-A-V-A-N-N-I apostrophe S.
And what else can you forget?
Don't forget about that lasagna.
Don't forget
whatever you do.
Exactly.
Can I get one outstate one? Or out
sure.
Of,
get as many as you like.
Save the pot jokes, but when me and my buddies went to Colorado to ski.
Okay, I'm not saving them.
There's a place called Elevation Pizza.
Oh, of course.
In Fraser. Yeah, their slogan is take your pie to a new high. But they have got a Buffalo Ranch pizza, chicken ranch. That is unbelievable.
Okay. Are there lines that are now recognizable for pizza that you're not in? Like the barbecue chicken has been around for a while, but now, I mean, places are including
Buffalo chicken
eggs.
Pizza.
What about eggs on pizza? Yeah.
Well, like breakfast pizza. Have you ever had a Hedgie's breakfast pizza?
Yeah. In fact, just like I have Netflix, we talked about that last week.
Must have something to do with the trip to Colorado.
At the Elevation.
Well, so I'm kind of all over the board when it comes to crust, but I feel like people are either they want a big doughy crust or they want it thin and crispy.
I like the variety.
Yeah, I am too.
I do. Now, I don't love deep dish.
Yeah.
I think deep dish is much more hit and miss. I'll
give it the overrated.
Yeah.
Deep dish is overrated.
I would say the ones I've had, in fact, some of the places that I hear have great deep dish, and then I go there and I just think, eh. You know, so maybe I don't like deep dish that much.
That could be it. I like what I like the most about pizza usually is the crust. Like you get to that last and you get the, you know, like the crust strip.
Yep.
So if you're with someone who doesn't eat the crust, I'm that person that's like, you're not going to, well, I'll come over for pizza sometime.
Jeez.
I will take the crust.
Have you thought about getting rid of her? I mean, you don't eat the crust.
I know.
Take her back. What's the return policy at that hospital?
And it's atmosphere, I'm sure, but when you're in New York, just getting a slice of pizza.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Many different pizza places.
Oh, yeah. Do you fold it over and just have the tradition?
Man.
Or do you have it like Donnie with the fork? Remember that silly controversy when he was having the pizza with the fork?
I love ordering unique spots when I go out of town. There's a place that's, I would say, I thought it was East Coast, but then I got it in Nashville. It's called Two Boots. And it's kind of the same thing. It's very old school pizzeria style. But, and, you know, cue the people who say we talk about drinking all the time. The vibe in pizza places towards bar close is probably one of my favorite vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, you kind of get that first when you're in college and, you know, people are going to get late night food. But when you're in a city, because most restaurants tend to shut down 10, 11 p.m., they close their kitchen.
Right.
If you're looking for people who are out and about, an open late pizza spot is the place you're going to find people.
Multiple people talking about Red Wagon Pizza Company. I know of it. I haven't
had
it.
South Minneapolis. It's like a border of Edina. I want to say 42nd or 44th and Penn. Is that right? I used to go to the gym over there.
Okay. Is it pizza? Is it Nia?
Pizza Nia in Northeast is great.
I know people love it. I have not had it yet. What about Hello Pizza?
Hello is under the same ownership as Lola and Young Joni.
Yep.
So Hello is more a very, very New York style, the big slices of pizza. It's a very cool spot. That one is 44th and France. Red Wagon is 54th and Penn. So Hello Pizza is very bright, very almost feels old school diner-ish. Limited hours. They aren't open super late, but they make a good pizza. Very thin, you know, where where all your goods go in,
yep.
Your toppings. That's very thin, like a New York style that you can fold, but the crust is good. A
lot of Red Savoy. I think Red Savoy is excellent. Well, I'm a blanket on the one that's Richfield, not far from the airport. It's right by the 5A Club.
Fat Lorenzo's.
Fat Lorenzo's. I think Fat Lorenzo's.
Great spot.
It's a really, really good place. House of Pizza in St. Cloud. If you go to Washington, D.C., let's go this weekend. What do you think? Stay at the White House? House of Pie. How many places House of Pie do we have? I mean, wouldn't that be one of the top names you'd want to have? Jets. I think Jets... Among the ones, now I live too far from Jets, but does Jets deliver? Because I'll pick up from Jets. Because what is your favorite on the chain delivery ones that we have here in town? Because I think Devani's, it might be my favorite among the ones that deliver of the chain variety.
When it comes to chain, I'm Papa John's, but only because, and this is only because they have this really great garlic sauce that you can dip the pizza in. And it is like garlic butter goodness. It's amazing.
See, I don't like Papa John's.
I don't think I've ever had a Papa John's pizza.
Yeah. I just wish they would advertise a little bit so we could see
them. Yeah, right.
Now, somebody brings the Shakey's. I forgot to mention that. I was going to say one I'd want to bring back, and maybe I'm just hearkening back to my youth. But Shakey's and the whole Shakey's Bunch of Lunch might have something tied to Adam's visit to Colorado also. But Shakey's I miss a lot. Pizza Lucha? I think it's fine. I don't think it's great. I really don't.
And it had its stretch
where
it was super popular. But unfortunately, since then, really good places have opened up.
Yes. We are now a great pizza area. Flat out, if you ask the foodies, Dara, Darusha, Zimmern, those type of folks, they think we, in the last 10 years, have just improved immensely.
The one thing that I liked about Pizza Luce when I lived near it in Uptown was they do single slices. So you could go in on a Friday night.
I like that.
If you weren't, you know, I lived alone. I was single. I wasn't ordering a whole pizza for myself most of the time.
Where was Phil? Just,
I don't know where Phil was.
Yeah, okay.
I took the megabus out to Michigan, I stopped paying attention.
Out our way, Lindsay, Lattice. I think Lattice, you don't like it that much? And see, I really like Lattice. They're...
Latuffs. It's better if you say Latuffs.
No, it's Lattice. They have an answer. lattice. Their everything pizza with our sauce, I love it.
See, we've had it twice, and maybe before we move, we'll have to give it one more chance, but both times I was, and granted, we did take out both times, so maybe I need to go in, I need to be there with the Parmesan shaker and the red pepper flakes.
I'm more of a takeout guy there, too, you know?
Punch pizza?
I think punch pizza is excellent.
Lois Olson checking in.
Yeah, I think punch is very good, right? And people love punch pizza, right? I mean, they're not exactly slowing down with their success.
Now, where are you when it comes to toppings? Because we've addressed the crust.
Okay.
I like
a lot of stuff for me.
Oh, yes. But I like what plain food people, like the Dan Cooks of the world, would describe as adventurous pizza, like Thai peanut chicken or that Korean pork.
Mm-hmm.
The crust is a great vessel for really good toppings. And I'm okay getting a little...
Oh, I am. But Adam, wasn't there something that when we've talked about before, like a basic one you don't like? Is there like a standard, or am I remembering this wrong? I thought there was like a kind of a go-to standard pizza item that you weren't a big fan. Like, wasn't a pepperoni or a sausage?
Nope.
I mean,
any meat on a pizza is good with me.
Veggies? Where do you stand the veggies?
Limited. I'm not one for the supreme. Throw everything on it. Really? No mushrooms for sure. Can't stand mushrooms.
I'll take your mushrooms.
I'll take your mushrooms.
What else don't you
Nothing
like?
Ruins a pizza like mushrooms, especially when they stick it under the cheese so it's hidden on you.
Okay, go back to Colorado.
Just
yuck.
When the,
and smoke your
the
mushrooms,
edges
okay?
of the mushroom just get a little brown from the oven.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Here's a great one, by the way. Pig ate my pizza.
Oh, so good.
Pig ate my pizza is phenomenal. What is this? The Food Network? Last couple days it has been. We gave you veggies yesterday. And now we're giving you pizza.
And I actually, so we got a text from your friend that the streaming wasn't working. And it is an error on my fault yesterday. But John was listening. He goes, yeah, you guys were getting all hot and heavy on vegetables. And then the streaming cut out and it went to commercial. So I never found out what your favorite vegetable
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I actually received a couple on that, too.
Yeah, but we got it back after the commercial break.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. I mean, Adam, that ruined everything, didn't it? I mean,
all my fault.
I mean, Adam, are they having a lot of pizza at the Olympics?
It's got to be.
I've seen a lot of media members, though, complaining about food already.
Really?
Yeah.
Already? They just got there.
I know.
Olives Pizza and Excelsior? I've had it. It's good.
Is Olives the one on the corner there?
Where? I mean, I get...
The main strip. I saw someone say Maggie's and Wyzetta, and Maggie's is great takeout pizza.
I forget where it is. First of all, if going to Excelsior, the number one place to go is Jake O'Connor's. But then there are other options.
Why do you say that?
It's the official restaurateur's place, man. That's where he gives. Well, and it's the best place in town. But there are other places to go, and I'm not going to read the top text right now. No, 48 past one.
I thought it was a restaurant. I'm like,
yeah, I figured you did. Weird. Especially in your Colorado days, you did. That is your Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to call Lindis for free home improvement estimates on windows, insulation, and Leaf Guard, Brian Gutters. Remember when Brendan was part of this show, Carter, and was reliable? We could count on him, and now he's in Switzerland. You know, I thought he'd pay me for fantasy football. Checks in periodically, you know, and he'll mention something that happened like 2 months ago and say, hey, do you know about this? We're like, yeah, hadn't paid me. You made the bet where you ended up winning the bet.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
So you owed me 50. I mentioned I won the WCCO Radio Fantasy Football. Mentioned I dominated. I don't know. I didn't know if I'd mention it. Bless you. And so you owed me 50. And so you said, let's double it. And so this is the point where we were down to eight teams, and I got to pick two that would win the Super Bowl. And do you remember who I picked?
Patriots.
Yep.
And the Queens.
And the Vikings. I believed in the dynasty, and I believed in my fellow Minnesotans. You were willing to take ISIS, Taliban, Gitmo, but what happened? How'd it work out?
Pretty good for me.
Pretty good for you. That is correct. So, yeah, I mean, close circuit to Steve Thompson, close circuit to Brendan Kieran. They're going to camp in a couple weeks. You know, you might want to Might want to pay up. Okay, so we were talking about these smart glasses. China already operates what most people believe is the world's largest surveillance state. But now they're going to these smart specs. They look a lot like Google Glass. Boy, that went well, didn't it? Google Glass. Which was more successful, Google Glass or the 3D glasses that we all were going to buy at our house? Lindsay, did you ever at your house, your many houses, have the 3D glasses and just watching 3D TV?
No. Well, how long ago was this trend?
4 years ago?
Oh, no. I mean, no.
Fell flat completely. But what they're doing these glasses is they're identifying potential suspects. The device connects to a feed which taps into the China state database to root out potential criminals using facial recognition. Officers can identify suspects in the crowd by snapping their photo and matching it to their database. Beyond a name, officers are also supplied with a person's address. Chinese state media, which I'm sure is very impartial, right? In fact, I'm told a lot of people call Chinese state media Fox News, that the technology has already facilitated the capture of 7 individuals, while 35 others are using fake IDs are said to have been found. What would you think about that, by the commitment to this place?
I was going
to
say, good Lord.
Give him a shot.
Pompeii, we respect your effort.
Pompeii Pizzeria. Okay.
Elk River.
Okay, yep. Pompeii. They had 7 different folks, loyal or more likely working there. So Pompeii Pizzeria, there you go. For the effort.
Right. Yep. They got us tuned in.
Thank you for listening. Pizza. Yeah. You want it today?
No, yes. Not today. No. From Elk River, the show will be over by the time they'd get here.
No.
Not this
I'll
guy.
I'll still be here.
Yeah, that's this guy. No, not today. Any day next week. How would this be received here in Minnesota, Carter? Let's just go to Minneapolis. The Minneapolis Police Department, he was equipped with the glasses, where that now they're just looking for suspects. Although that's a very vague term, suspects. But with this, they can match up the database right away. What do you think? Is that going to pass your civil rights standards?
We couldn't get cameras for license plates. Remember, they put up all those cameras, and that lasted, what, about 2 months?
Well, I mean, think about remember the red light camera situation?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Okay. But some states do have that.
But to me, that's very different. That's incredibly different to me. Where I'm driving Lindsay's car,
yeah.
I run the light. They can't identify if it's me, but Lindsay gets the ticket. Versus,
but when the same legal questions come up, like, well, that's not me. I mean, can't you just argue?
I guess, but I mean, they're bringing you in for questioning. Versus in the red light cameras, you're getting the ticket, right? Isn't that a difference? Where they're now going to bring you in, if it turns out I thought it was Adam Carter and it's actually Denzel Washington, then you have that opportunity. Versus if I'm driving Lindsay's car and I run through the red light and Lindsay gets the ticket, I'll just say, wasn't me. That was Lindsay. Google pictures, cameras, how we're using these to locate people. Sadly, I don't think it's that different from what's going on in a lot of places already.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.